You're on the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Yes, back for a pop culture roundup. It's always shocking when these come out. We like to keep
It was inevitable. It was meant to be. I mean, it's now is the moment. You know, it's happening. It's all happening.
Unfortunately, it is all happening. Learning that.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the impending new Taylor Swift era.
Look at you dialed in. I wasn't sure this would reach you on your sad corner of the internet. I don't know.
No, enough people were reposting. So Taylor Nation, I'm like, let me see if I've got all of the information correct though.
Please inform.
So Taylor Nation posted an Instagram picture or a set of pictures of her from tour, the Eras tour, and it with some caption about like who's ready for the next era or something like that.
Yeah. Okay.
And then also Travis Kelce and his brother have a podcast.
I've heard of it.
And they like teased, oh, we've got a special guest on the upcoming episode.
Very special guest.
And it was like, and they had like a you know, sort of like cutout of whoever this person was. And it's pretty obvious. I guess maybe not obviously, but it looks like Taylor Swift.
I don't know.
And so people are like, oh, well, Taylor Swift is going to go on this podcast. And like, she's doing, you know, media appearance that she normally doesn't do. So, or a media appearance. Yeah. So like, maybe something is going on. I do think it's still weird that we have these at least one full album that she's recorded. Like, is the Taylor's debut just done? Yeah. Like, I thought that was coming.
Well, she said in her letter, she's like, I don't know. You know, that was basically the vibe is, we'll get it when you get it, whatever. She's low. It's low priority now that she owns her masters. So I feel like a couple numeric things you forgot to mention.
Oh, gosh.
Tomorrow, the day the episode comes out is the 13th. That's Taylor's lucky number, if you didn't know.
Yes, I'm well aware.
And it's earlier that their season's been on hiatus, and it was supposed to come back later in the month. But then they're like, we're coming back early for the special Wednesday, the 13th show. Mm. Also of note that I saw some Swifties mention is that Travis Kelce's podcast posted first. And it had the orange background, which is another clue. And then 12 minutes after that, is when Taylor Nation made their post, also featuring her in 12 photos of her wearing orange. So it's like, oh my God, TS12. Mm. Orange is the new Eras color, which is unfortunate. I don't know why. I mean,
well, she's bad at styling, so this will of course mean that we're going to have a bunch of hideous outfits, because also anybody who has watched one of those what's your skin tone color videos on TikTok will know that orange is most certainly not Taylor Swift's color. So this will be fun to witness.
Well, you know, the lore is that there was that whole theory of Karma being this lost album in between 1989 and Reputation. Yes.
And that was supposed to be orange.
That was supposed to be orange. So somehow, some way, there's like, wow, some sort of thread, invisible string, if you will, linking it all together, circling it back. I mean, you gotta love the corporate synergy of the potential of Taylor Swift not only announcing a new album or prepping a new album, but also choosing her boyfriend's platform to like actually do an interview, which she hasn't done in a long time. Like, yeah, she sat down with that guy from Apple Music to do some sort of podcasty thing, radio show. But other than that, she's not really interacted with reporters at all. And they're not reporters, which is obviously why this would be a safe space for her. But yeah, like, wow, bonanza, you know, it's like you love a couple that earns together.
Like, is the podcast just like a general podcast or is it a Patreon?
No, it's a podcast. It streams. Okay. It's definitely like a sports podcast. These are both, it's called New Heights and it's like they talk about football because they're both footballers. And so a lot of their guests tend to be, you know, football colleagues, different teammates and stuff. But they like, I've never listened to it. I don't even listen to clips. So I don't know the vibe, like what their shtick is, if it obviously goes beyond sports, if it's more generalized, but it's definitely sports adjacent, sports centered, at least in their.
How often is Taylor Nation posting, I guess, is another question I have. Like, well, is it possible that this is just sort of like a, you know, like a non, you know, like a who's right. ready, but like not really based on anything?
I mean, yes, this could all be as clowning. I've seen people work really hard to like check what photo of Taylor Swift it could be and like, does it fit in this cutout? And even that has led to theories because they think they've narrowed it down to her Directors on Directors photo, which I know you love. So now people are like, oh, she's going to talk about how she's directing this movie. And, you know, from lips to God's ear, because I can't wait to hear what that is. But then also, no. So Taylor Nation will post a bunch. And we've been caught in this sort of clowning circle before where, like a few weeks ago, they'd been posting something about like each era. And that's when people were like, oh, Reputation is coming. And then it was just a merch drop. So could this all be a merch drop? Maybe. But I do think it's pretty telling that it was explicitly like, oh, when's the next era? And it wasn't just random photos from tour. It was all very specific to this orange aesthetic. And it had 12 photo slides in it. And so, yeah, that's where we're at.
I also have some Taylor Swift tea, which interesting. I thought TBD on how like important this actually is. So there's this guy who's a like a film journalist, I guess, on Twitter, or he has like a blog. I think he's worked for like some reputable sources, but then sort of like has his own thing where, you know, he's like breaking news and stuff. Yeah. And so he released this article about how Taylor Swift's script that is, you know, for the directorial debut that she's making had to get a ghostwriter for it. Like how they're doing, like the studio is doing rewrites for it, basically. Like they hired somebody else to like do these rewrites. And he said, you know, that he has like multiple sources for this. And so then, so this story comes out and then Searchlight like goes on record saying this is not true. Nobody has like nobody's rewriting Taylor Swift's script. Like, we don't know what you're talking about. Like, no, like this is crazy. Why would you come up with this? But this guy, Jeff, is like doubling down saying like he has sources. He knows this is happening. Like, and that basically Searchlight is just like sort of acquiescing to Taylor Swift not wanting people to think that she has a, you know, co-writer on this. Like this is super hush hush. So like Searchlight is basically lying to try to cover up the fact that Taylor Swift has a like a script doctor, which is not unusual. You know, it's like we've covered enough movies in this. On this podcast, like lots of times it gets written by one person and then a second person comes on to sort of like clean it up. I think this is especially true if something is like, oh, it's based on a book and the author of the book writes the screenplay. And then like, okay, we have somebody else come in to sort of like zhuzh it up a bit because, you know, Taylor Swift has not written screenplays before. But so anyways, then there was all of these like Twitter feuding going on where this man was like, you know, in people's comments and calling out like the news aggregators that were posting the stuff that Searchlight had said. And it was just like this whole debacle on film Twitter, and people were, and he's sort of like a kooky character. So I think like the gut instinct is to be like, oh, he's like wild, like he must have his sources wrong. But then I was also kind of like, he is like a journalist, you know, like he does like breaking news, and those kind of people have like very strict rules as to what they are allowed to say. You know, it's not like this was an influencer came up with this. Like,
yeah, it's not.
So I was like, clearly somebody in Searchlight is saying something. And I was also like, okay, it's been 3 years since this project was announced. So like, what is happening with it? We haven't heard anything about it. It does seem like it's possible that somebody is helping her with the script if it's taken this long, because if the script was great and the studio was just like moving forward with it, then I think we would have heard something. So I'm just,
I thought this was like, I saw headlines. I didn't really read into it that she was having this this writer come in, but I didn't realize it was unverified. So I'm catching up now.
Well, it's like he is like a news source. So I think he reported it, and then other outlets picked it up. And then Searchlight was like, no, this didn't happen. And so then outlets had to go back and be like, okay, wait, no, actually, it didn't happen. She's not getting a ghostwriter.
I love, honestly, all I can pray for is that in my life, Tree Payne like writes a tell-all. Because the way she pins these press releases is just amazing. It's mesmerizing. Like, to say, to get Searchlight, or who is it? Searchlight presidents to say Taylor is a once-in-a-generation artist and storyteller, just to say she doesn't have a co-writer is insane. It's like, it literally was like non-news to me. I was like, okay, I mean, she doesn't have to do everything. Like, I feel like every single script ends up going through like a couple hands, or, you know, finessing, especially if it's the first time, whatever. That's funny. I'll be curious to see how that plays out. I mean, because they named the writer. Has she said anything?
I don't think so.
What is her name?
But the other thing is that like the Writers Guild has really strict rules. So, and when you submit things to the Writers Guild for credits, it's like you have to submit like a whole bunch of different documents and stuff. So I think the only way that this, like, they would really have to sort of go in a like under the radar, sort of weird off the books path in order to have someone help her with this and then not get credit for it.
Well, and this is the normal people writer, right? So doesn't she know Taylor Swift? Or no, that was Conversations with Friends. Never mind.
Yes.
That Joe Alwyn was involved in, and Taylor was was around then. But this is not that. This is normal people writer Alice Birch, rumored to be on Taylor's cleanup crew. That's interesting gossip. That's what is more and more fascinating about Taylor, is just this like insistence of solidarity while singing about being isolated. And I find that so fascinating. But I will say, in the TS Taylor Nation roundup of photos, the very last one was her and Sabrina Carpenter. Other theories are about, is she going to collab with her? Sabrina Carpenter has an album coming out soon. Is Taylor on it? Blah-de-blah-de-blah-de-blah. The point is, the fans are clowning, and 50% of their rumors, theories will be proven wrong maybe Wednesday the 13th.
Yeah, when it's actually Keke Palmer who's on the podcast.
I mean, honestly, it would be so funny if it was just fan baiting. But I feel like at a certain point, they know that they can't get away with that. Like, I don't know. It would be so funny if it isn't Taylor, but I don't think it would work out well for them.
I mean, Taylor Swift is such a fascinating figure. Like, I do think I'm sad that we are like basically the same age as her, because yeah. I think that unfortunately, unless she, you know, tragically dies young, like a lot of this stuff will be secret known, until yeah. afterwards. But yeah. yeah, it is. It's like she clearly has like weird PTSD from things that happened oh, yeah. early in her careers that she's just like not able to move past. It's like you yeah. have to go to a therapist and figure this out. But yeah, the like insistence that she does everything herself is
yeah
is like I think hurting her now. And yeah,
maybe like, her script really is great and she wants that solo credit a lot, like Rian Johnson, you know, she's ready. She's ready for that moment.
That this script is good. Like, I'm sorry.
She wrote those midsections of her music video with the All Too Well and the It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia crew in Antihero. Didn't you have confidence from that? No comment.
No comment.
We're going to get a cease and desist from Searchlight Presidents.
From Tree Paint.
From Tree Paint. I would be so honored, honestly.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Oh,
my gosh.
Signed.
Somebody got an email. Did I tell you that we got an email from her at some point? And
oh, my
it?
God. I would just, our friendship would be over if you kept that from me.
It wasn't. Did I tell you that?
No.
So,
wait, from who?
From Tree Pain.
For what?
It was not me. I did not get it. Parade oh got the email. Somebody at Parade got the email because they had reported that, or in some article or another, it said that her parents were divorced and her parents aren't technically divorced. And so Tree Pain was like, how dare you say this? Like, you need to change this now, kind of a situation. And I want to say we got it like on a weekend or a night or something. And so there was a lot of like hullabaloo over like, who can log on and change this? Because Tree Pain is like sending us.
Yeah, I want to. So did you have to issue a correction? Parade correction.
I mean, I don't think so. I think we just changed whatever it was in the post and then maybe like, at the bottom, you know, said like, oh, previously this said whatever. Yeah. But honestly, Parade is not like good at journalism. So I don't think we probably did that. I think we probably just like changed it and then
just
hit repub.
I hope no one noticed. Yeah.
Yeah.
No one's going back through the archive to see what it said originally.
No, I mean, we are not using like journalistic standards for things. I can tell you that right now.
You heard it here first. No, that is funny. It was from Tree Pain.
Yes, Matt, it was Matt, from Tree Pain.
Record, off the record, you need to get her email address so that we have a direct reach.
I don't think it's hard to get her email address.
Okay.
Or
well,
a,
then we've got to start
partner.
Working on that relationship so we can get tickets to report on TS12 tour.
Yeah, but you are now on record as like sort of being a Taylor Swift hater. I feel like
no,
this
but I have a failed. Longer record of being a Taylor Swift apologist. And
wow.
And
the moment
I think a fair-handed critic, you know, like I still really value her music.
Do you think Taylor Swift is really in the market for fair-handed critics of her work?
I'm saying that I'm not expecting Tree Pain to invite us over to meet Taylor. I'm saying she'd give us tickets to the show. That's all I want.
Okay.
I want free tickets to the show. Thank
I'll
you.
I'll believe it when I see it.
tree.pain@gmail.com. Is that it?
But I feel like a tangential story is that Demi Lovato and Joe Jonas reunited yesterday and performed yeah. Camp Rock together.
I love that. Honestly, I love this sort of like era of nostalgia-driven performances. I think, is it sad that the Jonas Brothers' most relevant music is still Camp Rock? Maybe. But also, good for them. Like, that's a powerful hit. And I watched the videos. I was immediately clocked into that story. And I think more people need to embrace the nostalgia, even if it's painful to be with your ex or to only be relevant for something from 20 years ago, that's okay. Do it for the people, you know?
I do think it's fascinating. And I guess this is why, like, I was always sort of confused at why people were going to old rock concerts, you know? Like, why is somebody going to see Bon Jovi? It's like, I understand that people love them when they were growing up, but it's like, okay, they have new music that they're like, that you don't probably like that much.
Yeah.
They are like old, they're not as good at singing. Like, why aren't you just going to see something else? But it is like, oh, there's something about like nostalgia from that young period of your life that locks you in no matter where you are or what you are doing. And so I think that, unfortunately, us as millennials are now getting to a spot where our artists are not necessarily like relevant or doing
JT
interesting work necessarily, and so they sort of have to rely on this nostalgia factor anymore. It's like the Jonas Brothers is no longer creating moments that are inspiring the same reaction that Camp Rock and like their earlier albums did. Instead, they are like creating music that's, I'm sure, perfectly fine and that their fans like, but it's like, if you want to reach that or attempt to touch even that like level of fervor that you had at one point early on in life, you basically have to play the nostalgia card. And I think that that's, we're seeing that like sort of across the board, like with musical acts, but also, you know, it's like Freakier Friday came out. Like, we're getting a lot of these sort of rebooty kind of, I Know What You Did Last Summer. There's just like such a, like, on one hand, I'm like, let's get new property. Like, I don't necessarily need to rehash all of this, but I think for those people, they realize that that's really the only way that they're going to stay relevant in a lot of cases. And I think there are a lot of people who are just like, wait, I want to relive this period in my life. Yeah. It's a very fascinating situation, I think.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's like everyone I know is going to Las Vegas to see the Backstreet Boys. And I know if NSYNC showed up there, I'd be there, you know, like I'd be curious to go. But I do think, yeah, it's kind of, I mean, you're right. This is just a cycle that repeats. Like, my mom went to the Beach Boys and I'm like, this is not good anymore. But there's still like an energy.
It's sort of sad though.
But I think it's like, okay, it's like more recent. It's like how the energy at the Taylor Swift Eras Tour was so high throughout. But even when Reputation came, it spiked. And that sort of like, whoa, like that emotional, like,
which is moment. Shocking because that's her worst album.
No, but it was such a high. And so if you get that high when you're at a concert where it's like, yeah, you can go and listen to an album you've only heard for the last year of your life, or you can go and you're guaranteed a moment where the Jonas Brothers are going to sing the year 3000 and you're swept back into the song that's been a part of your life for 20 years. Like, that's a powerful drug. So it's like, it's like Beyonce. Oh my God. When she did her little like throwback set in the middle of Cowboy Carter, where she sang, like all her old stuff, like to the left, to the left, like all of it. It was like instantly the crowd was even more insane, even though we were all having a good time before that too. It's just like time, you know,
there is a difference between Taylor Swift and Beyonce, who still feel like that they are very like relevant. Well, and somebody like, I think, like, okay, if going to see NSYNC, should they, like, because I really wasn't a Backstreet Boys person, but like, let's say the NSYNC is performing at the Sphere next year or whatever, it's like, did I love those songs? Yes. Do I still listen to some of those songs? Yes. Do I want to go watch them sort of like as middle-aged men perform dance moves? Like, I don't know.
Have you gone to like a reunion show? Because I went to New Kids on the Block and I had no attachment to them whatsoever. I was there for the opener, who I believe was Nelly, but I walked away from there being like, holy shit, New Kids on the Block, that was a banger. Like, that was so fun. And there was something so like indulgent about these grown-ass men like playing to a crowd of middle-aged women who were just as horny for them at 52 or whatever it was. Like, I don't know. There is something really transcendent, okay, about going back in time to that period. Yeah,
I guess it's maybe just a case-by-case basis, because I am sort of, like, now that I'm saying this, I'm thinking about, like, Allie and AJ.
Oh, yeah.
Who I absolutely adore. And I'm kind of like, and when you go to the concert and they do finally play like Potential Breakup Song, it is like a moment, even though I really love all of their new stuff. But I kind of feel like for them, and I guess I don't know about New Kids on the Block, but it's like, it doesn't necessarily feel like a huge diminishing of them to be like playing random, you know, it's like they were never that big to begin with. I feel like it feels sadder in NSYNC's case, because it's like, you know, the sort of like high that they were at.
No, because it's not like they're going to be playing, like, it's not like they're touring like Justin Timberlake now. If NSYNC came back, they'd be able to sell out their stadiums. They'd be able to sell out their, you know, the Sphere. They'd be able to sell out. Like, so it's not like running into them at a sad baseball game where they're just playing for pennies and you're like, oh, remember when? It's like there is money to be made, and so they're putting on a pretty good show, I think, is the thing. But we'll have to see when NSYNC when Justin Timberlake figures out how to live with his Lyme disease and gets over his ego and goes crawling back to the guys to say, you know what, it's time. We'll see how much money they pump into that thing, or if they're forced on the festival circuit.
Like, I think it might be next year.
I hope so. I mean, yeah, it is interesting though. I mean, yeah, there's something. I think that just comes with us, you know, becoming the generation that has these sort of reunion shows and being like, is this sad or are we just happy to remember times that were simpler and more fun than now? Yeah. So.
What other stories do you have? Anything?
No.
No. The only thing that I wanted to talk about, which I guess maybe I'll sort of do as my love it or hate it, is, and just like that ends this week.
Oh,
so we have only one episode left. Last week was the penultimate episode, where Carrie went back to her apartment, and it has been turned into, in classic New York fashion, it's been flexed into a two bedroom. And I'm interested to see where, like, she's clearly going to move back to the apartment. Like, that seems so obvious to me. And I think it's really interesting to think about where the rest of the plot lines end. I'm still calling that I think Michelle Obama is in this finale. Like, I think we're getting Michelle Obama. That she's been name dropped so many times, and this feels like exactly the type of thing that she would be in. Like Gloria Steinem was in an episode a couple seasons back, so, or maybe it was last season.
Yeah, different levels of involvement, but yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
You think, like, she has Secret Service protection? You know what I mean? Like, don't you think it would have leaked? Like, it's not like Gloria Steinem who can just, like, show up and it's like no one knows who she is. It's like,
I don't know, though. Well, I mean, I guess it depends on, like, what they
you're right, because it's like Hillary Clinton was in Parks and Rec, you know, so Joe Biden, like, was in Parks and Rec, so
right. It's and I do think, like, with the like, I think because of that Kim Cattrall thing leaked so early, that they probably have stricter like NDAs and stuff now, maybe, than they did then. I don't know, or they're just more tight on, like, who gets to know things. But I could see a situation where it's like, okay, if they only, because I don't think Michelle Obama is having more than like two lines,
right?
Like, they could go, like, they could have gone to her house or something and filmed those, or maybe she pops in, like, in a Zoom call or something. You know, it's like, I don't know exactly what the scenario is, but I feel like we're getting Michelle Obama.
So, how do you feel about all the press turning? Speaking of nostalgia, all the press being like, "But we weren't ready for it to end." Do you resent it a little?
I find it annoying, yes.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I think people just love to gripe on stuff, which I mean, same, honestly.
Outrage culture, yeah.
But I mean, I have said this from after watching the first season of And Just Like That, which like, you know, I watched in succession. I'm like, I don't think that And Just Like That is that different from Sex and the City. Like, I think that they are very similar. It's just with Sex and the City, we've had 30 years or whatever to sort of forget the pieces of it that are, that we didn't like or were weird, and just remember the good pieces. And the parts that are sort of weird or quirky, we remember in like a, oh, but like that was just goofy kind of way. And I think that the new show is very similar. Yeah. And yeah, I think that everybody like loved to hate on it, but they were still watching it and they were still talking about it. And yeah, now that it's, and I think that everybody was rooting for it to get better. And I think that it was steadily getting better. So I think it's just really sad that it's, you know, finally
R.I.P.
ending. Yeah.
Well, in a win for, I guess, original content, I watched, dang it, I forgot the name, Freaky Tales. Did you watch this?
Oh, I heard that was bad. I heard it was terrible.
I would not say terrible. I would not say terrible.
No, it's Freakier Friday that we were trying to do the episode on. Like, you watched the wrong thing.
I saw Pedro Pascal and I pressed play. Like, what do you expect from me?
Okay, whatever.
This is an indie film that stars Pedro. It's an anthology style film with like three chapters following different people, but they all intersect in the end. And it stars Pedro Pascal in one, and then like Ben Mendelsohn, who you'd recognize, and Jay Ellis.
I know who Ben Mendelsohn is.
Insecure. And so it's like a smaller film and it's very strange. It's set during 1980s Oakland, and it does follow a real basketball player, but tells a completely, like a real basketball game, a specific game featuring a specific player, and that specific player is played by Jay Ellis. But it's not at all a true story. Like, it's absolutely not at all true. And it's really over the top, like violent. Like, it's like about, I don't even know how to pitch this, but it's just like about the seedy underbelly of Oakland and how these different like fringe characters intersect to free the city from racist, homophobic Nazis, basically. So there's a lot of punching Nazis, a lot of killing Nazis. And there's also this like side story about like, I don't know, mind control. Like, it's nonsensical. It's very campy. It's very silly. But it was also like, you know what? I'm along for this weird ride. I don't know if it works as like, you know, it's not the greatest film of all time, but I do like big swings. And it's on HBO. It's has Pedro Pascal, if I didn't mention that already. So yeah, that's good. And he also has his very like, it was typecast as basically his character from The Last of Us, but remove the zombies and add in fascists. And it was good. It was like fun enough, you know. It was bonkers ending, but I enjoyed the performances.
Okay.
So if you're looking for kind of a short, weird flick, if any of those cross sections interest you in your little Venn diagram of desires for entertainment, then yeah, I would not say this was a terrible movie. It kind of had that like Sorry to Bother You vibe. You remember that movie?
Yes.
Like it's just weird enough to turn a lot of people off. But if you like movies and you like kind of the weirdness, especially of like that 80s crop of cinema, or even something like Kill Bill or like these kind of weird niche stories, then it was a good time.
Okay. interesting. I probably won't watch it. What's it on?
It's on HBO.
HBO. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it might be nominated for an Oscar. I don't know. So you might have to watch it.
I doubt it. I've heard so little about it. Have you seen the movie Sketch? Are you seeing that with Penny?
Sketch.
I've gotten, no. It's like Keegan-Michael Key And it's sort of like a Harold and the Purple Crayon kind of a thing that where it's like, oh, we're drawing and things come to life. I've gotten 9,000 emails about it, but otherwise I haven't heard about it at all.
No, yeah, I've never.
And I was like, is this like that? Oh, duck
you know
movie,
what?
Though?
I did see a trailer once, and it looked bad.
I was like, is this, you know, taking the like kindergarten class by storm, or is everybody watching this and
I don't think so. No, I haven't heard anyone chatter about this. Is it out?
Okay.
My gosh, it has like 97% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Is it out?
I don't know. I mean, it has like a ton of reviews. Let's see, top critics. I think it's like one of those. It's fine.
It came out August 6th.
Wow.
Distributed by Angel Studios. Wait, is this a Christian movie?
Ew, sneaky.
Because isn't Angel Studios, is that not a Christian one?
I don't
know. Based in Provo, Utah. Oh my gosh. The studio has become known for Christian-themed films.
Yeah, I think they have one about like
they make The Chosen.
Kids animated Jesus movie I saw a trailer for too. I was like, I can't handle this. This is terrible. At least make a movie as good as Prince of Egypt if you have to make a Christian movie. You know, like that's what I want.
Yeah, but not even non-Christians are making movies as good as Prince of Egypt. So, you know, it's like that's a really tall
order.
That
was such a perfect storm of greatness.
Should we both watch The Chosen and do an episode on that?
Oh my God, no.
How have there been 6 episodes about, like, has Jesus not died yet on this show?
I don't know, I guess.
Isn't
you know what
about
I did
Jesus
see is
disciple?
Bad Guys 2. Did you see this?
No, I want to see.
Because you were
it,
a Bad Guys
I really
lover.
Bad Guys 1.
This
yes.
was not mm-hmm. good. You know what? Oh. This literally, they just took it too far. They just upped the ante way too much. So instead of like a general heist film, they end up in space. Like, spoiler alert. This turns into like, it's like jumping from Fast and the Furious, the original, to Fast and the Furious 10. Like, it's like, no.
Well,
we had more middle ground
movies,
to cover.
They do go into outer space. And I
exactly.
do feel like you liked that one.
No, I did, because I had Fast 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 to get to that, right?
Well, this has an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I know. And it was like, I don't get it. The animation's cool, sure. The voice acting, great. Yeah, but the story was just like, what are we doing here? This is too much. Okay. You can't just maybe suddenly go to space. You'll have to watch it and tell me if I'm overthinking
okay.
it. I was just
I'll keep it in mind.
This is mid. It's not as good. So,
well, okay. We will be back on Thursday to discuss either
something.
Freakier Friday or Weapons, depending on what Shelby has the gumption to take on.
Well, it's more more what time I have. Like, because I'm seeing Freakier Friday tonight with some friends. And then I want to see Weapons, but I don't know if I'll be able to see it before we record. You know what I mean?
Gotcha. Okay. Well, so maybe we'll have a double episode.
Cute. Love that. That now that's
weapons.
A double feature. Yeah.
Oh, that's a double feature.
Now I'm motivated.
Almost as good as Captive State.
Yeah. One can only hope.
Yes. 5 feet apart. The classic double feature that everyone's been talking about. Yeah. 5 feet of captive, I believe, was the combined name for it.
You wear your oxygen tubes and then switch into your
alien,
I don't know, end of
mining
world scrubs.
Costume yeah. or whatever, yeah. Because wasn't there a plot of that where they had like, they were like in tunnels or something, weren't they? Because they were like blowing
up. Well, the
up
aliens,
somebody?
I think, were digging. They were mining. So, yeah. There was some sort of mine situation.
I really don't remember Captive State. Maybe for our like 10th anniversary, we should go back and watch and rewatch Captive State and Five Feet Apart. The two worst movies we've covered on this podcast.
I can't wait.
Okay, and then for the Patreon, we'll do Hustlers and
yeah.
Goldfish,
it's finally happening.
The other great combination. Okay, well, thank you everyone for listening, and we'll be back on Thursday. Bye.